Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is a single verse from the Holy Gospel, specifically the 42nd verse of the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Jesus said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." This is the word of our Lord Jesus. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and to my newest sister, Etta Jane. Well, it should be obvious to us, it should be crystal clear to us, that once again, we're in an election season. Campaign signs, mailers, televised debates, and those endless, endless, endless commercials. It is by these commercials that candidates attempt to convince you to vote for them. And a lot of times, these appeals for you to vote for them are on behalf of children. Candidates are pictured with children around them, and they're all smiling. And some children even have a scripted text as part of the commercial, so that you too, as the child may say, will vote for their candidate. The person who is running for office is quite often shown to be a good person, since they too are loved by children. If the children love them, they must be good. Well, we know that these appeals are shameless, emotional appeals, actually directed to many people, but specifically the mothers and fathers, who want the best for their children, of course. Such campaigning is based on a premise that one cannot deny. Children are our future. The children of today will certainly be the adults of tomorrow. And it's the very same for the church and this congregation. God does not mass produce Christians, though. God makes them individually, through the Spirit, creating faith in their hearts by the means of His Word and sacrament. The faith, therefore, must be fed and sustained, just as our physical body requires to be nourished with food and drink. And like the body, faith can also fall victim to disease. But it's not like the flu. Faith suffers an illness that is much, much more evil. Faith suffers the illness of being scandalized. A literal translation of our Lord's words this morning could read like this: whoever scandalizes one of these little ones who believe in me. Scandal. To scandal someone, to scandalize them, means to make them stumble. To cause a person to begin to mistrust, to distrust, or to desert the one in whom they should be following. We certainly understand the word scandal in our society today, don't we? Juicy gossip that is given to newspapers and media outlets. And this is the story that they will cover 24/7, 365. And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not, if it gets ratings, and if it's to besmirch the one of whom they are opposed, they will run it and run it and run it right into the ground. But in the biblical sense, The concept of scandal is even more sinister. Jesus doesn't leave any room for his people, for you and for me, to be dismissive about the behaviors that we are to show to other people, especially children. Our text this morning follows the events of the Holy Gospel from last week. Remember, Jesus took a little child and placed that child into the midst of them. Now, Luke tells us that this little child was a little boy. And what did he do? He eventually takes this little boy up into his arms and he warns his disciples. He warns his disciples then and today against causing one of these little ones to sin. Throughout the New Testament, children are used as an example of a great faith, of a great faith in God. And Jesus said explicitly that the kingdom of God, as you have just heard, belongs to them. And not only that, he also said that these little ones believe in me. Jesus says that little ones believe in him. Now the world may want to dispute that, but I'll believe in Jesus, and the world can believe what it wants. But Jesus says it, then it's the truth. Why does Jesus say this? Well, we know from Scripture that children are not, they are not innocent. They are not sinless. In sin did my mother conceive me. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And we, all of us together, we sadly know that children are subject to death. We know that they are conceived in sin and that, like adults, they would be eternally lost without God's saving grace. So what makes a child such a wonderful example of faith? Well, we can understand the danger of scandalizing a little one when we come to realize the nature of a child's faith. The faith of a little child is a faith that has been given as a free gift, as you just saw with Etta Jane, a free gift that was given to her in her baptism. And then this faith is fed, it is nourished by hearing about her Savior, which she will hear from her parents, she will hear from us as she comes to church, that she will hear in Sunday school in CWS. It is a faith that has not yet been subjected to the temptations of this world. If I may, Etta Jane is sinful by nature, just as you and I are sinful by nature, and there is no exception. But she hasn't yet received reinforcement, whether it be from Cooper or from anyone else, to show that she's a sinner. Etta also hasn't been subjected to college professors and worldly elitists who will mock her because of her Christian faith and try to convince her that she's a fool for following Jesus. You see, faith is God's instrument of receiving his salvation by grace. It is God's work that you have just seen. You've seen it with your own eyes. And faith is a gift. It is a gift that was given to Etta and has been given to each of you at your baptism. The faith of Etta Jane is one that has been received and is solely focused on Jesus Christ. It is not divided between him and the world or other things of this world. Etta believes and has not yet been tempted to doubt. Thus, Etta's faith is strong and pure and freely given to her. Woe to anyone who would scandalize her, who will scandalize her faith. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Now you must understand, dear ones, you must understand that Jesus isn't being overly dramatic here when he speaks of a millstone, a huge millstone, being hung around one's neck and they'd be thrown into the sea. What Jesus is saying, it is truly better for this to happen to a person who scandalizes the faith of a little one. You see, you and I know this. Dallas and Rebecca know this. Etta Jane and her brother, and her nieces and nephews, her cousins, and all of her relation and everyone here, not a one of us need any help being a sinner. But woe to the person that provides such temptation and help. Now this includes not just teaching one's children sinful behavior by means of a bad example, but also failing to bring up one's child in the fear and admonition of the Lord, which is what God tells us in His Word. Jesus warns us. Jesus warns us against outward sin, against little children. Yet here He is also speaking more broadly against anything that scandalizes a child's faith. As you have heard and seen today, parents who bring their child to the waters of holy baptism promise to teach their child the ways of the Lord. You heard the admonition. It's crystal clear. Yet when a parent refuses to do this, they not only break their promise, they also cause their little one to stumble. They scandalize the little one's faith. Now it's obvious to us that a parent who doesn't properly nourish their child with food or clothing or shelter will be charged by the state with child neglect or child endangerment, as they should be. But think about this. What about a parent who doesn't nourish or ensures that the child's faith is nourished and endangers the child's very soul? It would be better. It would be better for that parent, for that man, for that woman, if a huge millstone was hanged around their head and they were thrown into the sea. My dearest brothers and sisters, they aren't only on the hook, but so aren't we as a congregation. The congregation in general also has a responsibility to its young people, to its children. Christians are to show love for children of their parish and rejoice that they are here on the Lord's Day. Yes, I know they cause a lot of noise at times, yet we should rejoice that there are children present, for there are churches across America where a pin could drop. You could hear a pin drop because there's no children. Zero. None. So be careful. Be careful how you think about children. We should relish the fact, and we should relish the idea that we have children here, for we know that they are our future. And we also know, as Jesus has told us, that they believe in Him. Therefore, we should encourage parents. We should encourage them to be here on Sunday with their children, to bring their children to Sunday school, to encourage even the parents to come, not drop them off and go home, but to drop their children off in Sunday school, and they walk upstairs to adult Bible class, for that is also nourishing their soul. Pastors also, and soon to be pastors also, have a distinct honor and a distinct privilege of assisting parents in the instruction of their children by meeting with the children during the week is what we do on weekday school. To help them to examine themselves, to show them the truth of God's Word, to show them the truth of the sacraments, and why they must be here on Sunday to hear the Word. And in hearing the Word, their faith is nourished, they are fed, they are strengthened, they are made ready to face those professors and those teachers and anyone who will tell them that Jesus isn't God. Those who will scandalize them. Adults, your children, our children, you know this, and I know this, they are watching. Children are always watching, and they are always learning. And so is the world, and so is the evil one. The world and the evil one, they are just waiting for you to slip up, to fall into a gross sin, and provide scandal, not only to Jesus and to His church, but to the little ones. The world rejoices when we cause a little one to sin, for this confirms their reason in rejecting Jesus as the Savior. Don't give the world what it desires by finding excuses to reject the gospel, to reject learning about Jesus. Ensure that your children are present. Ensure that our children are present. Encourage the parents to be here. And ensure that you too, adults, are here to hear the Word, not only here in Sunday worship service, but in adult Bible class. My dearest brothers and sisters, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He invites you to receive from Him strength to remain in the faith that will always trust in Him. For He is the crucified and risen Lord. He is the very Lamb of God who's taken away the sins of the world. This same faith that He has given to you, He also gives to your children and to our children, so that they too will believe in Him, just as Jesus said. Therefore, in service to Him, render God-pleasing service to His little ones. Resist the temptation to scandalize them. Now, lastly, as we close, this is my prayer for all of us, that your Lord Jesus will bless you and keep you, that He will keep you strong and steadfast in the Word, that as He sustains you according to His faithful promise, that you will always be an example to our children and to the world, that you be confident and resolute in the truth that He has died for you also, and therefore by the shedding of His most holy and precious blood, your sin is washed away. Yes, dear one, all of your sin is washed away, just as Etta Jane's sin has now been washed away. Your sin has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, I can proclaim to you that your sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Thank you.